A reading from St. Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. And when a great crowd was gathered and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew, yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, Jesus called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Ears that hear are not made out of skin and cartilage. They cannot be grown or trained by the law. They can only hear when those ears have been plugged and our mouths made mute and our excuses have all run dry. For in the kingdom of God, only the deaf hear, only the blind see, only the fool believes. We only live after we have died. And so it is that God hides himself in the weakness of parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Oh, it is simple words, a simple story told with agrarian color, but it conceals God from men and women who are too proud to believe that he is not like them. And that children loved by God is always the point. God is not like us. He doesn't eat his own. He doesn't betray those he loves. He doesn't cave in to pressure, sell out to the establishment, forget his roots. He doesn't neglect the things that are good or face the shame of weakness, error, and laziness. He doesn't lie about his friends and then relish in their anguish. No, instead, he behaves in ways that baffle self-centered man. He gives of himself. He sows his seed in foolish, weak, and impossible places with no thought of gain or loss, only conscious that the seed is good and that his created ones are in need. He sows on the trodden path, the rocky patch, the thorny ground. He sows in deaf ears, blind eyes, and into hardened hearts. He sows where no drunk sower, even in his darkest hour, ever dared to sow. He sows where wheat does not, will not, cannot grow. And most of it is lost. Most is trampled, snatched, withered, choked. Most is wasted. It's spent in vain, tossed away for absolutely nothing. It's like good money chasing after bad, indistinguishable from chaff in the wind. It is actually more inefficient than the federal government with a surplus. But the sower cries out, what of that? It didn't grow. It doesn't matter. He just continues to sow on, and he never counts the cost. He doesn't sow for profit or for the future. He sows because his created ones are in need. And in foolish ways that continued to baffle, he provides for free. And so the seed finds the earth, miserable, scorched, dry, rocky ground though it is. And the seed finds the earth, and though it's impossible and ridiculous, miraculously, some of it grows. Some transforms that trodden, rocky, thorny place into soil rich enough to bear even a crop 100-fold. And the sower cries, ah, what of that? 100-fold. It took root in ears that could not hear. It grew to life in blind and unlikely corners. It bestowed wisdom in the midst of foolishness and in life in the midst of death. It bears a crop where and when it pleases, and that pleases me. It always bears a crop, just not where people think it ought. It never returns to me void. It accomplishes the good that I sent it to do. Ah, what of that? Dear children loved by God, the word of God is not controlled by men. It doesn't stop and check the credentials, the pedigree, or the intellect of those who hear it. You see, the sower, he never conducted any demographic studies or balanced budgets or crafted a vision and then a strategic plan. He just sows. For what he sows is the power of God unto salvation. It changes lives, it heals diseases, it actually brings into war. And it never leaves things the way it found them. For it is the creative force of God himself calling forth a Messiah into the virgin's womb by way of the virgin's ear, calling forth from heaven itself a water of renewal and regeneration in John the Baptizer's timid washing of the Christ, so that now all who are joined to him in those burial waters are his beloved sons, in whom he is well pleased. Calling forth out of wheat and grape on silver plate and inside fancy cup, ordinary bread and wine no more. His body, his blood for his people, that we might proclaim his death until he comes. And calling a people who were quite literally no people, but who are now a people in him, a mighty nation, although hidden in the meek, a unified race whose unity is concealed in the diverse colors of their skin and the shapes of their eyes, who worship one Lord and who wait in one hope, and who know that whatever the future brings, this is not our home. No synod, no government, no heritage, but this. Only this will last and remain. So have no fear, little flock. The Lord Jesus has not forgotten you, hidden in suffering and difficulty, fighting for every breath, battling against the forces of darkness that always try to squash the truth. You see, you are the 100-fold harvest of grace, for he has transformed you by his word. He's watered you in his blood, sheltered you in his love, so that you now grow up and live in him. He's quite literally done the impossible for you. He's forgiven you without cost or charge or effort. And by his unfailing word, you are his own, his beloved, his precious, adorable bride, chaste and immaculate. It is for you that he suffered the weeds that choke, the birds that snatch, the rocks that bruise your roots and steal your moisture, the feet that trod upon your head. He died your death. And he rose again to declare you innocent and pure, and now to blaze your way into heaven. And that means there's absolutely no one else left to accuse you. There's nothing to add, nothing to prove, nothing to do. He has done it all for you. So you are perfect, lush, and fertile in redemption. He's placed his word into you, and by that very word of God, you now live. And soon, hopefully very soon, He will return to bring the harvest home, to complete that good work that already now he has begun in you. So he who has ears to hear, ears that are transformed by grace to see the glory of Christ in the cross, hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.